For the first time in over a decade, the Australian government has unveiled new physical activity guidelines for adults and other adults aged 65 plus. The federal government first started releasing guidelines in 1999 in hope of improving health outcomes for adults in the country. So what exactly has changed with the new guidelines? Will they deliver positive changes for Australians' physical activity? To find out, The Wire's Tony Pankaluik spoke to Deakin Distinguished Professor Joe Salmon from Deakin University's Institute for Physical Activity and Nutrition.
So the last guidelines were 10 years ago, and these new guidelines are certainly an update of the evidence the government's, you know, invested in updating based on international evidence for the last 10 years, which the field's moved along quite quickly. And the main change to the guidelines from last time is including a stronger focus on sleep and a 24-hour time period. So we tend to think about the amount of time we spend being active or how much time we spend sitting, you know, in terms of our daily waking hours. But in fact, the 24 hours is sort of how we should think about our movement, and sleep's a part of that. So the first time, sleep is been incorporated into the physical activity guidelines.
From your view, Joe, what do you overall think about the new guidelines? Do you feel it's accomplishing enough? Do you feel like something may be missing? Could you go into detail into some ideas if there are gaps in it that you'd like to see implemented?
Well, certainly, you know, I think the evidence is there, and the guidelines are, I guess, accommodating that evidence. And there's a lot of, I guess, individual responsibility in those guidelines. You know, often when guidelines are put out, it is targeted at the end user, the consumer, and for all of us as individuals to think about our own personal responsibility. But unfortunately, we know from decades of stubborn prevalence rates not moving that the proportion of adults in Australia not meeting guidelines, which is about half of us, haven't moved for decades. And I think while it's great that we have guidelines and it's really important, we also need to have a lot more underpinning implementation of those guidelines. And that can take all sorts of approaches, from environmental to social to the individual as well. So that's really, I think, what we commented on the release of the guidelines last week. We really wanted to cover that, you know, that the government also needs to invest in further support.
And you also mentioned supportive environments throughout the article. So what exactly is that for people that may not know? I know it sounds maybe obvious, but if you can just go into that.
Absolutely. So if you're living in an outer suburb of a major city, for instance, you might not have much opportunity to walk to places, particularly in your daily living. And so the number one barrier to people meeting physical activity guidelines, which have remained, they're the 30 minutes most days of the week. So most days we want to do at least 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity, brisk walk or even faster, you get a bit of huff and puff, and a couple of days a week with strength training. We tend to find that people haven't got time, and that's because they're trying to do that 30 minutes all in a chunk, and it's not needed. We know that we can accumulate and get benefit as well, so you can accumulate across the day. But what does that look like? Does that mean that, you know, at lunchtime, do you get a chance to go pop out to the shop, or if you're at work, you're in walking distance, or even walking distance to and from work, or if you have family, you know, are you able to walk with your children to and from school, for instance? So it's all of those urban design characteristics, which we know are really, really successful in European countries, smaller countries, admittedly, Scandinavian countries, where we know that you can more easily walk and cycle as a way of getting around. And so it's that convenience and access to our daily living, work, shops, friends, family, and those sorts of things that are really important. So you can actually, through urban design legislation, you can require that there be consideration in particularly developing new communities that things are within walking distance and not based too far away so people can't get to them and they have to get in their car. So that's one, so urban planning. The other thing is for existing communities and neighbourhoods, how can we reframe and put in more opportunities for walking, cycling, or catching public transport? So there's policy actions you could take to offer public transport at a very low cost, like Brisbane's done, and that was a huge success. 50-cent bus rides, you know, and getting a lot more people on buses. You know, our research has shown that that's effective. Or even free public transport. And we know when people catch public transport, they're more likely to also get more walking in their trip. Or even allocating, rather than all the funding going to roads, can we hold aside some funds for more bike paths and walking paths? So there are things that we can do to help support people be more active in their environment. environment.
With the guidelines, I'm just curious to know. So we know the first one was done in 1999. And throughout my life, I have heard of the guidelines. And we mentioned about research. It's all based on evidence-based research. Just curious to know, like, with the process, like, how does it work? Like, how do they decide, like, what year to put it? Because obviously we've mentioned it was over 10 years ago the previous guidelines come out. Like, how, like, frequently do they come out? Is it, like, once they've made a new breakthrough in the research that they decide to bring it out? What's the time process? If you could explore, if that's in your scope, how it works.
That's a really great question. I'd love to say there's a scientific answer to that, but I think often it's a budgetary decision, but also there does need to be enough evidence to come through to update. Having said that, in the UK, they've got quite a number of living guidelines. They've adapted, rather than going through this whole process every 5 or 10 years in whatever health area. You know, in the UK, they're doing a lot more of the living guidelines, otherwise known as NICE, N-I-C-E. If people are interested, they can look that up online. I would love Australia to move for health guidelines to the NICE approach, where we've actually got living guidelines. So as major breakthroughs come through, and if you can imagine the pharmaceutical industry with the weight loss drugs that are coming out at the moment, and there are updated clinical practice guidelines for the management of overweight and obesity in Australia coming soon, that definitely should be a living guideline, so that we're not constantly thinking, oh gee, the evidence has really moved on, but we need to find budget to update that. Rather than that, it'd be great to have them constantly updated as the evidence comes through.
Okay, so Joe, this will be my last question. Is there anything else you'd like to add just as we wrap up?
So one of the reasons that we haven't been able to shift the needle in the amount of Australian people moving and being active and meeting guidelines, and children as well, I have to add, is we just haven't invested in a fully funded national physical activity plan. We don't have one. Australia is one of few countries, developed countries, that don't have a national physical activity plan. We really need to invest in that. And really, it's good value for money. You can do a lot of things quite low cost, but high value in terms of health benefits. So I would love the Australian government and for the population to advocate for a national physical activity action plan that would fund a lot of these opportunities that I've mentioned to support people be more active. And actually, it would make everyone's living a lot better and more enjoyable. You know, you're living in a better environment all round if you're able to get out and be active.
That was Professor Joe Salmon from Deakin University speaking to The Wire's Tony Pankalowicz.